What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod.
Every year, a select few sleepers absolutely crush for fantasy football, and it's our job to hit on them. If you guys watched this video last year back in the 2023 fantasy season, you guys would have noticed, again, not all of those five sleepers hit, but two of my biggest hits last year were Nico Collins and Jaylen Warren, who, after the 10th round, were two of the biggest league winners in fantasy football. Again, I'm not saying that the early rounds are not crucial, but hitting on some of these sleepers after the 10th round could make the difference between you sneaking in the playoffs or potentially hoisting that league trophy. So stay tuned, grab your popcorn, and let's get into it. My number five sleeper is Ty Chandler, running back of the Minnesota Vikings. And I fully understand this offseason, the Minnesota Vikings did add Aaron Jones to potentially be the RB1 for that Minnesota Vikings backfield. But once you get in the 10th, 11th, 12th round or later, Ty Chandler is a very appealing option. And when we go through it, Aaron Jones, yes, he did sign, but he is entering his 8th NFL season and switched teams this offseason. If you guys actually look at the historical precedent of older running backs switching teams in the offseason, on average, they produced 3.6 PPR points per game less than had they stayed with the original team they started off with. So as you guys know with Aaron Jones, started off with the Green Bay Packers, go to the Minnesota Vikings. On average, we see 13.6 if they stay with the original team, only 10 PPR points per game if they do switch teams. And between the aspects of Jones switching teams, having nearly 1,500 career touches, and being at the age of 30 years old, not to mention the history of missing time, Aaron Jones will more than likely seed work in this backfield in some capacity. And if you guys actually check the Draft Sharks injury predictor, Jones has a projected 87.6% risk rate of suffering an injury in the 2024 campaign, and he is projected to miss 3.1 games this season, which, again, makes sense. Older running back, injury history, switching teams this offseason, only 1-year deal. We could see Aaron Jones miss some time this year. And with Ty Chandler, he showed last season when he had the backfield to himself in games that Alex Mattison was not playing in, there was one such occurrence, and it actually occurred against the Cincinnati Bengals, who on average last year were the 8th best team against opposing running backs, only allowed 15.8 PPR points per game to the running back position on a weekly basis. In that game, Ty Chandler was an absolute monster. 23 carries, 132 rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown, along with 4 targets, 3 receptions, and 25 receiving yards through the air. That equated to 24.7 PPR points. Again, a very small sample size, only 1 game, but that did prove that Ty Chandler could hold the workload should Aaron Jones miss time this year. At an opportunity-based position, Ty Chandler has a clear opportunity not only to be one of the best true handcuffs in fantasy football. Again, if Aaron Jones were to go down, we have the historical precedent from last year that Ty Chandler can be a lead RB1. But on top of that, Aaron Jones has never been a big bell cow. Aaron Jones has been a timeshare back in his time with Green Bay. I could very well see this being a 60-40, 65-35 type of split for Aaron Jones early on. And if Ty Chandler continues to show out and we trust the history of older running backs potentially declining, we could see that split even close in on a 50-50, 55-45 level appeal. And we've heard all offseason that apparently the Minnesota Vikings do view this as a 1A, 1B level committee. And I do think Ty Chandler has some merit to potentially take touches away from Aaron Jones, even without an injury needing to happen. And the Vikings, despite losing J.J. McCarthy, have a very clean projection as a rushing offense with a good play schemer like a guy like Kevin O'Connell and an offensive line that should be much improved with starting tackle Christian Darrisaw expected to be back for the season. Again, he missed 9 games last year. The offensive line suffered as a result. Christian Darrisaw is expected to be fully healthy. So I'm looking at a potentially improving offensive line. I'm looking at one of the best run schemers in the league. And I'm looking at Ty Ty Chandler being available in the 12th, 13th round of your redraft leagues as one of the biggest must-draft sleepers in that range. Going on to number four, we have Tyrone Tracy, running back of the New York Giants. And Tyrone Tracy was a running back I was extremely excited about in the pre-draft cycle. Based on his 2023 college film at Purdue, he was one of my favorite running backs in the 2024 NFL draft. A guy I had ranked as my RB7 in the class. A guy that despite being a first-year starting running back at Purdue this past season, he was a converted wide receiver from Iowa. We're looking at a guy that was a must-watch on any single touch. Highest yards after contact per attempt in the entire class, 90.5 PFF rushing grade, and 46 missed tackles forced on 113 carries. The most crazy stat for Tyrone Tracy's season this past year is that he produced 71% of his rushing yards on the season after contact. We're talking about a guy that was creating everything for that Purdue offense, despite not getting very good offensive line play in front of him. My comp for Tyrone Tracy coming out of college was actually Tony Pollard, and you guys know how familiar I am with Tony Pollard, seeing the jerseys I have hanging in the background. A comp that I think has plenty of merit when you actually compare their production in college, and despite suffering an injury scare in the preseason, Tyrone Tracy is expected to be fully healthy moving forward, and in the only preseason game he suited up, he was the clear number two running back. Evan Singletary sat the game out. Tyrone Tracy garnered 89% of the snaps with the first team. Exactly what we wanted to see. The main question I had for Tracy, you know, a little bit raw to the position. The fact that he's already working as the number two should be clear signs that he's adapting to that New York system. And if he learns the nuances of the position, the nuances of the scheme with the New York Giants, we could be looking at a running back that already has that natural game-breaking ability in the open field. If he can really take care of those small nuances, we could be looking at a guy that sooner rather than later is even able to eclipse Devin Singletary as the starting running back. I expect Devin Singletary to be the incumbent starter coming into the season, but by all accounts, apparently Tyrone Tracy has already gotten some work with the ones, and Tyrone Tracy has the type of three down upside we look for in our late round picks. I expect Singletary to start the season. I'm not going to say that Tyrone Tracy week one, week two, week three will be the New York Giants starting running back, but like I mentioned with Ty Chandler, getting a running back handcuff with high implied upside that has the opportunity to work into an ambiguous backfield, we are drafting them on our fantasy teams. And with Tyrone Tracy, like I said with Ty Chandler, he could be available in the 12th, 13th, potentially even the 15th round of your fantasy drafts. And he's somebody that, quite frankly, I do not want to be leaving without, because Tyrone Tracy has the opportunity to be that $100 of your fab budget level pickup should anything happen to Singletary or Tyrone Tracy himself develop into that true number one back I thought was available on his college film. But before I get into my number three sleeper, if you guys are interested in getting access to our draft guide, the Redraft Rankings Manifesto 3.0, you guys can get access in one of two ways. The first way is by going over to Underdog Fantasy and using promo code FSC on first time deposit and sign up. That will get you 50% deposit match up to $1,000, as well as access to a special pick'em and our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. So all of a deal in one, only $10 to be able to get all of that good stuff. And the guide will also be made available over on our site, Flock Fantasy, by using promo code FSC. You will get 7 days for free and 30% off of any site-wide package. Links for both will be pinned both in the description and in the first comment down below. Let's get into sleeper number three and talk about why Xavier Leggett needs to be on every single one of your draft lists. And with Leggett, wide receiver of the Carolina Panthers, he was one of my pet cats in the 2024 NFL draft. Arguably one of the bigger surprise first round picks. A lot of people were, you know, clowning the Panthers, saying it was a reach at the time. But to be honest, I love Leggett's film. I thought he was a legitimate top eight wide receiver in this class. A guy that was eerily similar to what I thought about DK Metcalf coming out. Again, a little bit more of a raw receiver. Leggett, of course, having his first year breakout this past season. But a guy that has the size, the speed, the movement ability in the open field to really pay off from a fantasy football perspective. And landing with the Carolina Panthers, he is a wide open opportunity to be able to do so. And when breaking down his film, like, sure, were there some lapses in terms of his route running, some lapses in terms of his overall nuance to the position? Absolutely. But like I said, you want explosive size, explosive speed, the ability to make people miss in the open field, and that is exactly what Xavier Leggett does to a C. Again, this is a profile that does have his warts. You can talk about the fact that he didn't break out in college until he was 23 years old. You can talk about the fact that he's not a refined route runner despite being an older player. But I see a guy that has the makings where if he could round out his game, can absolutely dominate in fantasy football. Every single time we hear Dave Canales talk about Leggett, we hear the exact blueprint we want to hear for developing a raw rookie talent. The way Dave Canales basically explains it is that he wants to use him out of the backfield through jet sweeps, short crossers, perimeter screens, down the field posts. There really isn't much else we do with our wide receivers. He understands that he's not going to line up Xavier Leggett at the X, run the full array of the route tree. We want to develop Xavier Leggett by using the things he does well in the open space, at the point of attack. Xavier Leggett is the type of wide receiver we want to scheme looks for, knowing that he's not the most refined route runner at this current point in his NFL journey, and he has all the opportunity to potentially round out that part of his game, eventually be a three-level threat. But for the time being, hearing Dave Canales have a true plan for how they want to develop Leggett is what we want to hear for our fantasy football weapon. And unfortunately for Leggett, he has missed some time in camp thus far, which has impacted his path to immediate production, fulfilling that plan that Canales has for him. But in my opinion, it may have just given us a hidden time bomb, because quite frankly, once Leggett is able to get that role, I have no doubt he will boom like the Rizzler. We're talking about 5 out of 5 booms here. That is the level of upside that Xavier Leggett has in this Carolina offense, because when we're looking at the overall target hierarchy, we know that Deontay Johnson will be able to command targets, but I really do think there's a possibility for Xavier Leggett to emerge as a top two weapon on this offense. And Leggett has the type of profile that come week 5, come week 6, come week 7, if he does see that type of role participation, if he does become a full-time player, could very well be a $100 all of your fab level acquisition. So beat that boat right now. Don't let your league mates be able to get Xavier Leggett in the season and draft him in the 13th, 14th, 15th round of your redraft leagues with your friends. There's a reason those buffoons are sleeping on him, and it's not because they know what they're doing. Going on to my number 2 sleeper, we already mentioned, you know, my RB7 in the 2024 NFL draft, my wide receiver 8 in the NFL draft. Why not bring up my wide receiver 6 in the 2024 NFL draft, a guy that landed in one of the more ideal situations you could have possibly asked for in the second round with the Indianapolis Colts? Adonai Mitchell, a guy that I was extremely high on, like I said, was my number 6 wide receiver, did show me signs of potentially being a George Pickens, T. Higgins level talent in the pre-draft cycle. And he lands in a situation where we could potentially see the Colts offense completely break out this season. By all accounts, Adonai Mitchell has been a big-time standout for the Colts this offseason, and that's translated into an extremely impressive preseason thus far. With the starters, we're talking about a guy that has worked 86% of the snaps and has posted a 45% target per run rate and an impressive 29% air yard share in the preseason thus far. He shows that incredible versatility between playing on the outside, playing in the slot, which he has been featured in with the absence of Josh Downs on this Colts offense thus far. And as stated by Dwayne McFarland here, based off his usage, you can even make the case that he should be much closer to the other round 2 NFL draft picks, guys like, you know, Ladd McConkey in your fantasy football drafts. He's been able to work the slot with Downs out, like I said, and he did bump Alec Pierce off the field in 2 tight end sets. And as this tweet from Jared Smola from Draft Sharks does say, August 22nd, we did see 15 routes for Adonai Mitchell on 16 Anthony Richardson dropbacks, and 19 of those 24 snaps were in the slot. Like I said, a ton of slot usage for Adonai Mitchell thus far, a guy that I thought was potentially your prototype, you know, boundary wide receiver, ball winner down the field. The fact that he's shown the level of versatility to be used across the formation, Shane Steichen has a plan, using him in the slot, using him at the boundary, potentially getting him in motion once the season starts. I'm extremely excited for the potential usage we could see for Mitchell in this Colts offense, a Colts offense that is on every single person's breakout list. And AD's got the immediate opportunity to prove that the high-end flashes he showed on his college film, again, we're talking about a 6'2", 205-pound, 4.3 speed level freak athlete, those flashes were evident in his time in Texas. So the fact that he's shown more consistency at this point in his Colts career speaks volumes to the level of upside he potentially has in this Colts offense. His biggest strengths as a prospect, in my opinion, were his ability to be that dynamic third level threat that can really stretch a defense. And the fact that he's working as a route runner, the fact that he's working his underneath timing in the slot, bodes well for his potential to develop into a three-level threat player. Shane Steichen is still the same offensive guru that led to the 2022 Eagles offense breaking out. And when you look at the potential pieces of this offense, Anthony Richardson, while being volatile, has a type of big arm, has a type of creation ability to really get potential big-time, high-danger chances down the field to a guy like Adonai Mitchell. And when you're looking at this Colts offense, like I said, Pittman more of your possession threat. Josh Downs, once he comes back, should profile as the main slot receiver. But the fact that Adonai Mitchell is already used as a chess piece and has the natural athleticism to catch a 40, 50, 60-yard bomb that A-Rich has the type of arm talent to be able to deliver down the field, we could be looking at one of the bigger breakout players in fantasy. Again, George Pickens, we saw last year produce a 60-catch, 1,100-yard season. Now he's going in round four of your fantasy drafts. I would not be shocked. Again, maybe not quite at that ceiling, but if Adonai Mitchell is able to produce that level of stat line going in the round five, round six portion of your fantasy drafts going into next year. And on top of all of that, it's not going to be, you know, a slow roll across the season level production. Adonai Mitchell is the type of wide receiver that once it clicks for him, has the opportunity to scale his production into a wide receiver too. So for me, the fact that you can get him this late, he is going to be on every single one of my benches. But moving on to my number one overall must draft sleeper that your buffoon league mates are leaving on the board till the double digit rounds, we got Trey Benson of the Arizona Cardinals. And to put it simply, how often do you find an elite talent running back in a great situation going beyond the 10th round? That is the exact situation we have at play for Trey Benson this year. In the pre-draft cycle, both myself and Corey had this guy compared to Breece Hall Light. And I get it. He doesn't have the same immediate path to production that Breece Hall did coming to the New York Jets. But when you're talking about the explosive ability, the size, the tackle breaking ability, the yards per route run in college, Trey Benson has every single box checked we look for in a young breakout at the running back position. While Trey Benson did take a game to potentially get acclimated to NFL speed in the preseason, he looked back to his battering ram self in the second preseason week. Jacob Gibbs actually tweeted this out, but Arizona Cardinals rookie running back Trey Benson recorded 4 avoided tackles on 9 attempts in his second preseason game. And like I was saying, that's the exact same prospect that I saw at Florida State, a guy that actually broke the PFF elusiveness rating record with a 226.6 rating. We're talking about an elusiveness rating that was higher than Bijan Robinson, that was higher than Breece Hall, that was higher than any other recorded FBS running back in history of PFF. And we're talking about a bunch of those guys going in the first, second, third round portions of your draft. So that is the type of talent we're dealing with Trey Benson, where if he does eventually get that opportunity, which I'll explain in a second where that may very well be the case come midseason, he's got the opportunity to be a first, second, third round pick in your fantasy drafts next year. So the fact that he's going in the double digit rounds should speak volumes to the level of potential upside we have at store here. And the Arizona Cardinals last year were a team that ranked second last in terms of pass rate over expectation. The only team with a worse ratio was actually the Atlanta Falcons. And if you watched the Atlanta Falcons last year, it almost felt like the same thing. What is Arthur Smith doing, this and that? The fact that Arizona was number two on that list should point to the fact that they want to rush the football. They draft Trey Benson. We'll get to James Conner in a second. But as much as I think they could potentially increase their passing volume this year, going from the second to potentially mid-table would be a big-time improvement. So the fact that you're already getting that big of a pie in the rushing game speaks volumes to the type of smash-mouth offense we could potentially see with the Arizona Cardinals. I understand that there is pessimism. Of course, like I said, James Conner is the big elephant in the room. If James Conner was not on the Arizona Cardinals, you could be making the case that Trey Benson would be a round 5, round 6, round 7 pick in your fantasy draft. But simply due to the presence of a running back going into his 8th year that has dealt with multiple injuries in the past few, he's going in the double-digit rounds. Trey Benson is an auto smash every single time you get into double-digit rounds of your fantasy drafts. And speaking, like I said, with James Conner, I mentioned with Aaron Jones, the potential sports injury predictor over at Draft Sharks. But if you actually read the note that they have on James Conner, the biggest concern with Conner is durability. He's never played a full season. He's missed 24 total games over the last 7 years. And our injury predictor that they say over on Draft Sharks gives Conner an 88.4% chance of injury and 2.8% projected games missed this season. The injury concerns for Conner make Trey Benson such a unique high leverage handcuff, but we're also talking about the potential possibility that come midseason, we start to see the pendulum swing for Trey Benson in this backfield, and he could very well eventually end up being the number one overall running back on this team. I get it. James Conner, he was really good in 2023, but we don't typically see year 7 running backs post their absolute best season in the NFL. But for Conner's case, it looks far closer to being an outlier than what we could potentially expect to be the new norm going forward. With James Conner, like you see, clear best season in terms of PFF rush grade, overall rushing line, yards per carry, yards after contact per attempt, missed tackles forced, clear career highs in every single one of those factors for James Conner. But if you look at the previous 6 years before that, was not nearly that same talent at the running back position. But James Conner going into year 8, past durability concerns, coming off that blip in the radar year 7 in his NFL career, I think he's facing a big-time hurdle to overcome in terms of the historical precedent we have seen from running backs in the past. Typically, year 8 running backs, on average, produce 73.1% of their average career production. And I've made this case with why I'm against Derrick Henry, why I'm against Alvin Kamara. But the thing with James Conner is his peak does not come near those guys. With Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara, you're looking at potentially two of the best peaks we have seen in the modern era of the running back position. As good as James Conner was last year, it does not nearly hold a candle to what we've seen from those other running backs. So with James Conner, the history is against him. The age and touch apex is against him. His overall injuries have mounted up in his career. And Trey Benson coming in as a top 75 overall draft pick with the height, the weight, the speed, the rushing ability between the tackles, the yards per route run he showed at Florida State. If anything were to happen to James Conner, we already know inherently that Trey Benson, I've mentioned this before, $100 fab player. Not only would Trey Benson be a $100 fab player, he could potentially be this year's Kyren. He could potentially be this year's Elijah Mitchell from a couple years ago. Trey Benson has the level of talent and the potential opportunity, should anything happen to Conner, to be an RB1 in our weekly rankings should things break right. And that's the type of player I want to be littering my bench with. Not guys that could potentially hit a single, hit a double, but like Trey Benson, could potentially be the number one waiver pickup on any given week. A guy that, quite frankly, could push your team over the top. I mentioned earlier, you know, early round picks, you could potentially make the playoffs. If you draft Trey Benson in the double digit rounds and Trey Benson becomes your RB2 with RB1 upside down the stretch of the fantasy season, not only do you become a playoff team, you could potentially downright take home that league trophy. But I appreciate you guys for making it to the end of this video. If you guys enjoyed, make sure you leave a like down below. Like I said earlier, all of our rankings, all of our draft strategy advice is in our draft guide, which you can get for free by signing up over on Underdog Fantasy using promo code FSC, depositing $10, or by going to flockfantasy.com using promo code FSC for 30% off plus a 7-day free trial. We also have the a la carte trade questions, dynasty team reviews you guys can check out. Site subs get a nice discount on those as well. So make sure you stay tuned. The fantasy season is coming. We will be firing up on the site every single day. So if you guys have questions, start sits, team reviews, feel free to go sign up on the site. Make sure you use promo code FSC. And that will also get you our draft guide, like I said, for free. But with that being said, peace out. I will see you tomorrow with my top 5 breakouts. Stay tuned, grab your popcorn. Superlatives week is back, baby.